why that song's not the number one song. To me, that was like the best part of the whole movie. Like the animation and the song. And like the woman, I can't remember her name, who sings that part. I feel like her voice is so fascinating.
I think we get so caught up in the moment. Like, I'm going to watch this show. I'm going to watch these games. Right. And then the moment happens. Then it's over. And you still have the subscription. It's like, oh, well, now I really don't use it. Yeah. So that, I don't know if that tends to happen to anybody. Or it's like, it's common where you just like, in the moment. But then months later, you come to realize, you know what? I need to cancel this. I don't use this every day.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Nobody you know. That's right. Welcome to the Nobody You Know podcast. They might not be famous, but they certainly have a lot to say. Join Ash, SB, Emmy, and Gus as they discuss everything from celebrity gossip, trends, pop culture, hit movies and TV shows, social media, and even some juicy personal life experiences and opinions. Now, let's get into today's episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to your favorite podcast, everyone.
Nobody you know.
I hope you had a wonderful day, night, morning, wherever you are hearing us from. Get ready. Grab tea, coffee, drinks, whatever you want. And
shots,
let's get
shots.
I mean, why not? let's get started.
What do we have to talk about today?
So much gossip. I'm ready.
Oh, yes.
So much juice.
Who wants to start?
SP.
Let's start out, actually, with a cool story. There is this funny story about an 8-year-old kid. It's really cute. And he lives in Idaho. And his name is Dylan, and he became a national sensation when he slipped his comic book onto a library shelf in his local library. And now The Adventures of Dylan has become a year-long wait list. So this little 8-year-old has become a sensation with his writings. I mean, a little author in the making. How cute.
That's so adorable.
That is it's also very exciting. How smart he was to put it in the library.
Right.
Even though people, you know, right now you can get any book online,
mm-hmm.
but to still have that mentality to like, maybe if I put it here, somebody's going to pick it up. Mm-hmm. It's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Like,
I also think not as many people go to the library anymore. So the fact that it's, you know, waitlisted, quote unquote, like sold out basically at the library, that also says a lot because it's like,
yeah, I mean,
people went there.
It gotta
found
be good.
It. Yeah,
yeah. It's really interesting to see such a young person with such a creative mind to put mm-hmm. his ideas and his thoughts into words, into pictures. That's very, very neat. You don't see that often. You don't see that every day. So it's very nice to see youth expressing their creativity through their art, which is very nice. It's very nice.
That's super cute.
That was a really cute story.
That's super cute.
It's just something warms
that
our
really
heart.
Yeah. It's something that we really need to incentivize.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like right now, I feel like creativity and all these things have been taken away by so many other medias and so many other
mm-hmm.
things
yeah.
that we really need to do. Like, if somebody's got that creativity power, like,
yeah.
explore it. Like, let
exactly.
him be or
encourage.
Let her be.
Encourage yeah.
especially the youth, definitely.
Cool. Do you know if he's going to be published or we'll have to find out?
It didn't say, but I hope.
That would be fun. Also, at the same time, he could just easily post it on social media. He could easily,
mm-hmm. true.
True.
You know?
With the help of his parents, for sure.
Go on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's investable, but it's definitely, because he can make his name already, and mm-hmm. then for the next job, then he can have, like, a publisher or something.
Yeah. Exactly.
Pay for college.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Totally. That's very,
cute.
Very exciting.
It's really cute. That's really cute.
So Dylan, keep going.
Yes. Keep writing.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
Speaking of youth, we finally watched Encanto over the weekend.
We did.
Yeah.
And we loved it. We
so
loved
good.
It. In our last episode, we talked about the music in Encanto mm-hmm. and the more or less what it was about. But now, since we watched it, now we can really put our inside
thoughts of everything that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very cute movie. And also one of the things that Ash was saying was sometimes the Disney movie became like, okay, you go have the journey, kill the dragon, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But like, I feel like it was a little bit more, I don't know, it reminded me a little bit of Inside Out. Like, it's more about like the emotion, the feeling through the family, like the connection through all of that.
Right.
And I really love how they portray a villain, but it was not a villain.
Right. Yeah.
You know what
right.
I mean?
It wasn't. Yeah. Yes.
I feel like that's such a great thought.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we are just misinterpreted. We are just misunderstood.
Right.
And that doesn't mean you are the bad guy because you are misunderstood.
Right.
So I think it's a very amazing message the whole thing has. Also about like she not being gifted.
Right. Maribel not being gifted. Yeah.
So it's like, no, she's actually.
She is.
It's kind of like everyone has a gift and sometimes that gift isn't obvious until the right moment happens.
Right, right.
And I also liked the message too, just going what you were saying. It's not like this crazy, fantastical, complicated
story
process or anything. It's quite simple. And I think the message is like really beautiful because I think sometimes people can get so caught up in doing good that they lose sight of like doing good.
Right.
Like,
right,
which
right.
it seems like crazy to wrap your brain around. But I think it's just so important to remind yourself like on a journey to good to do good, like why you're doing it and not get caught up in like being perfect at like doing it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because that takes away from
it.
So I really love that.
Exactly. When I saw the movie, I feel like the moral of the story through my point of view is like to never ignore what's in front of you. I think that the grandma was like so caught up with all the other grandchildren and all the other children's abilities and talents and the community that she forgot what was right in front of her.
Yeah.
And in life, we get so caught up with work and school and family and kids and this and the other that we forget what we do have in front of us. We have, you know, we have good health. We have a job. We got all just caught up with all the other things around us that we don't focus on what's in front of us, and we should appreciate what's in front of us because it's great. It's wonderful. And so I think the moral of the story, we can interpret it in so many ways, but it was a very good message. I think the way, the plot, the story, how it all unfolded, the characters, I think it was very well written and very well expressed through through all
Mirabel,
those characters.
Mirabel is the little miracle.
Yeah.
Let's go a little bit more in depth. So I was reading a little bit more about the show and the music and the full team, and not just the detail in the animation, because the animation is astonishing. Like,
the colors, the attention to detail.
Yes,
the attention to the detail is insane. Like, I mean, I was telling you guys because I'm Colombian, so I can pick up, like, for example, the tiple.
Uh-huh.
Tiple is a guitar that has three strings in each of the things. So it's four strings.
Uh-huh.
Each one has three individual.
Mm-hmm.
And they have that during the full movie.
Oh.
You know, they have the sombrero volteado.
Mm-hmm.
They have all the ranas. Like, they have a lot of little details that regular people might not see it, but like it's very to our culture. It's very representative.
Mm-hmm.
Like the river at the end.
The river.
The river. Mm-hmm.
When
yeah.
I told you guys like this river actually exists.
I didn't think that.
Tell us the name again of the river.
I forgot the name of the river, but I think it's the Rainbow River.
Rainbow.
Yeah, because explain to the listeners like what it like.
It's a river with a lot of plants that make the colors pop out.
Mm-hmm.
So
like almost like pink and stuff.
And blues and greens.
Uh-huh. Wow. So it's like very colorful. Like you wouldn't think a river would be this colorful, like a rainbow.
Yeah.
So if you look it up, Colombian, you can just put the Colombian Rainbow River and it's going to appear to you.
It's
but
beautiful.
It's gorgeous. So those little details are amazing. But now let's go more in depth. So let's start when we don't talk about Bruno.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So we don't talk about Bruno. It's a song that has so many different people and they all are... How can I say this? I don't know the right terms in the music, but like, so the familia Madrigal, Madrigal in music also can be interpreted as a chorus, like as a lot of people singing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like a choir.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So a madrigal could also be like a choir, like right. a lot of people singing. Mm-hmm. So we don't talk about Bruno. It's kind of a representation of that. And the madrigal mm-hmm. family is kind of like the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was the other thing? Mirabel is also in the music. When she always sing, she's singing in threes.
Oh. Yeah, mm. So for people who don't know, that means like 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, you know.
Very cool.
So
very
like a waltz.
Cool. Uh-huh. Wow.
When everybody else in the family is actually singing in 4-4.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So if you think that as how genius Lin uh-huh. Manuel is to yeah. put mm-hmm. that into throughout the full movie, it's insane.
It's insane.
Like that thought.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So if you actually listen to the first song, she's singing in something that is called like triple threats or something like that. Again, mm-hmm. I'm not a musician, so I don't know the right terms.
Mm-hmm.
But so instead of, and he does it in Hamilton as well. So oh. he has done this a couple times.
In his works.
So when she sings, she goes into thinking, kind of like talking.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go through the song, she's still in threes. But if she goes through, and so then he actually matches the beat.
Mm. It makes me wonder if they like layered her in separately, or if like she had to sing like along everyone else. Because that to me would be so confusing. Because
no,
like you'd have to like block out everyone
right,
else.
Right.
She doesn't. No, no. I think. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what Lin-Manuel was saying. He knew how well the artist is, the mm-hmm. girl who plays Mirabel. Mm-hmm. He was like, I knew she can do it. So.
Oh
wow.
It's
yeah.
is insane. So
that's awesome.
Mirabel
that's
is
so crazy.
In threes, right?
Mm-hmm.
During the full movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when we get to Dos Oruguitas,
mm-hmm.
which is the last song,
yeah.
it's in threes.
Yeah.
Why in threes? Why is so important the three?
Well, tell us.
Because Dos Oruguitas, the caterpillar, has three faces.
Oh.
Caterpillar, cocoon,
and
butterfly.
Oh, wow. So beautiful.
That's just heartwarming.
So
yeah.
it gives you that full of like
of
that
life.
The full movie.
Wow.
That's what the movie's about. So then at the end,
yeah.
the stages of life.
It becomes a fourth. Yeah.
Well, that is so freaking clever.
You also said, Gus, too, that like another reason he had her in threes and everyone else in fours was because like she doesn't really fit in.
She doesn't
throughout.
Fit in. Uh-huh.
And so like that's kind of why he wanted to like evoke that feeling of her being different yet still part of the family.
Right.
Part of the family.
Right.
Yeah. So
that
yeah.
is
really
so
cool.
Cute.
That's
it's
really cute.
It's so brilliant. Like
yeah.
the first
yeah.
scene is
yeah.
out of like he's a genius.
Mm-hmm. That is just
and how it connects throughout the full movie, how
mm-hmm.
all the instruments connect through him, how he also brings the culture with also kind of like a little bit of new sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Because for example, what I forgot the name.
Tick,
Luisa?
Luisa.
Luisa.
Luisa in her song.
Is it pressure or something?
No, under the surface, I think.
Under the surface.
That sounds about right.
Under the surface is a reggaeton.
Oh, wow.
But it's
wow.
a reggaeton that is kind of like mashed up to a higher pitch. I don't know how to say it.
I want to know why that song's not the number one song.
I don't know how.
To me, that was like the best part of the whole movie.
That one is pretty good. And the
like
animation.
The animation and yes. the song.
Yeah.
And like the woman, I can't remember her name, who sings that part. I feel like her voice is so fascinating.
Yeah.
yeah.
Because it's like husky, but like still feminine. And it's like a not like a very common voice,
mm-hmm.
but
not
I really liked it, and like that combined with like the animation in that moment,
no, so good.
Like
so
and good. And just like the girl power message of it too,
yeah.
or just like how a lot of women feel sometimes.
Pressure.
Like we have so much pressure to like be a certain way,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of like surprised that's not like
yeah.
the number one hit of
right.
the movie
yeah.
because
it reached
right.
the number 9.
Hmm. So it's top 10.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Her name is Jessica Darrow.
Okay.
She's a Cuban-American
actress.
Cuban-American.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
That song is so well. And again, it's a reggaeton,
yeah.
right? That
mm-hmm.
goes
right,
into
right,
it.
Right.
But when it is about to end, it develops into kind of like a musical.
Mm-hmm. Right,
right.
right.
So mm-hmm. it has kind of like nothing that connects, but in the story, it totally makes sense.
Oh,
and wow. This has so much thought, like musically.
It really
it has so much thought.
It is well thought.
It makes me want to like go back and watch Coco and like analyze that or like hear about the musicians in that cartoon because I'm sure it's just as like detailed about all the thoughts.
Right. But like for example, in Coco, I don't think any of the songs reach the billboards, like the charts.
Which is shocking, honestly, if you think about it.
Yeah.
But I do think this movie appealed to so many people of all ages, partly because it was so, I don't want to use the word simple because like it's not simple,
it's not
but
simple.
Like I just, it's easy to understand.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And it's just something like everyone can relate
exactly,
to. Like.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Maybe that's why it was like so popular.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't talk about Bruno. Mm-hmm. There is a little base of what was the predecessor of salsa. That's kind of what it has, kind of like that salsa vibe mm-hmm. into
right.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of goes into La Chismosa, that's what I call her.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
one
yeah.
who hears everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
It goes a little trappy. Like mm-hmm. into the right. trap.
Yeah.
I mean, the beat to me is like the best part of the song in that one.
Exactly,
yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yes.
It's like, no, like the full, it's insane. Mm-hmm.
And it circles back to real life. Colombia has written so many salsa, so many music that artists all over the world use, have made mm-hmm. them number ones because mm-hmm. that's how rich the culture is. Music is a big thing in Colombia. So it's fascinating how that movie highlights that as well.
It's insane. Like, he is a musical genius.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
how not only is just like telling, how to say, like, putting out a good song, how it ties up to the full story, how it tied up with everything.
Yeah.
It's like, and when you go into the details of the colors of each character and why they wear those colors and how Mirabel has in her dress the full family.
Exactly.
It's way too much.
Right.
It's way too deep.
Okay, it but really I want Disney to call me and tell me why. Why would you hire Maluma and not have him like,
oh,
he's saying,
yeah.
like, literally,
right.
like, maybe two sentences
too.
The whole
mm-hmm.
movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, the dude is Colombian. Yeah. He's, like, one of the most popular music artists,
song.
Like, in the world. He literally, like, did nothing. And I was sad.
Yeah.
I wanted to see, like,
same.
The Maluma
same.
Voice.
Maluma
like,
baby.
Yeah, I wanted him to be, like...
Maluma baby.
Maluma baby.
Yeah.
Mamacita.
Well, anyways... Yeah, I wanted him to say that. Mamacita.
In a Disney movie?
This is Disney after all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know why they...
I wanted him to be like, Encanto, baby.
Encanto, baby. Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know why they didn't pick him. Who knows? I mean, it goes deeper than everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm mostly kidding, but I am curious why.
Yeah.
What's the point of hiring a singer if you don't have them sing?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
True.
I mean, he was part of the actual voiceovers, you know, so I think that's kind of like gives it a little bit better, but at the same time, it's like he's the musician first. But yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
La verdad. Yeah. So it's pretty good.
Very good.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I love the
10 out of 10. Highly recommend.
If you haven't seen it,
go watch it.
Okay.
You're going to love it.
And I think this is going to tie it up into our next topic.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think about streaming services?
Oh, streaming services. Okay. They really make up our day-to-day, our everyday routines. Yeah. So I hopped on the Euphoria train. So I do use HBO Max.
Did you watch it?
I do watch it.
Yeah.
I do. I'm up to date. Last time we spoke about this show, it was like, what, 3 weeks ago?
3 weeks ago.
And
yeah.
I had nothing.
What episode are you on?
I'm actually up to date. Up to season two.
Episode five.
Oh.
I'm going to watch it late. I stayed up late. I was curious. So I do use HBO Max because I'm up to date now. But you were talking about earlier with me about some streaming service that you had to cancel today, actually.
Yeah, because I just don't use it. Like, I don't.
Well,
I have
it
on my phone.
Which one do you not use?
It was this app. It's, like, about, like, sports and whatnot. And
uh-huh.
I just don't. I even paid extra on everything. No,
it was to watch the Clásicos,
Paramount?
Right?
What happened?
Paramount or?
ESPN Plus.
ESPN Plus.
Mm. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Don't use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think we get so caught up in the moment. Like, I'm going to watch this show. I'm going to watch these games. Right. And then the moment happens. Then it's over. And you still have the subscription. It's like, oh, well, now I really don't use it.
Yeah.
So that, I don't know if that tends to happen to anybody. Or it's like, it's common where you just like in the moment. But then months later, you come to realize, you know what? I need to cancel this. Yeah. I don't use this every day.
I didn't stream anything until... Well, actually, I guess I had Netflix, but I used my sister's login info. But, like, before that, if I wanted to watch a movie or something, I went to the library and checked it out.
Yeah.
I'm, like, that old, you guys. No, I'm just kidding. but, no, like, because the library would have movies sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'd get on a waiting list and be, like, check out
or
a movie.
Or remember, like, the Red... I mean, they still have it, like,
Red Box
outside of the grocery store.
Yeah,
like,
I get that sometimes.
Which is probably dying already. So this tied up to a bigger question. So when television started... Right?
Mm-hmm.
This was the problem that we're having right now.
Mm-hmm.
Why they make television cable? Because they wanted to make affordable prices and you'll be able to have all the content in one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's how television and cable started.
Exactly.
And that's why. What are we having now? The problem with television and what are we switching? Mm-hmm. It's because television is like, you have to watch that TV show at 8, and if you watch it at 8:10, you already missed 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
But with the streaming services, you can watch it whenever you want, at the time you want.
Exactly. Go back, record it, and all the above.
But we're having the problem of going back to way too many channels to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
We have, you know, Netflix, Prime, Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
Peacock.
Peacock, Paramount, HBO Max.
But... in some ways, maybe it's good. It's maybe less great for us because we're having to pay like $10 here, $10 there.
Right.
But at the same time, isn't it keeping just one conglomerate from being like the monopoly of everything?
Yes, exactly. No, and that's what's happening.
Yeah.
So when the TV became a problem and all the streaming services became to bloom, mm-hmm. was because it was becoming way too expensive to have TV. Because if you wanted to have ESPN, if you wanted to have HBO, if you wanted to have all of this, you have to pay all these extras.
Pay extra to get it.
And all these extras, it would be like $200 for cable. And you are like,
that's
why?
That's ridiculous.
A month.
That's why I never had it.
But
like,
then
literally.
Right now it's kind of becoming that way because you have to have Paramount, HBO, Netflix, Hulu, Prime. So if you add it all up, it's up to $100, $120 if you want to watch everything.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, which you don't need to.
Right.
But, you know, it's always like, I want to see Euphoria if there is an HBO Max. I want to see The Wheel of Time. That's Prime.
Exactly.
I want to see The Great.
Too Hot to Handle. That's Netflix.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
So it becomes a bigger problem, which is going to bring out to the next solution. I think the one that you're going to survive is the one who's going to clean everybody else. So there's going to be only one streaming service that is going to begin in the next 5 to 10 years.
But I feel like right now they're all pretty evenly competing with each other.
No,
right.
Really. I mean, Netflix kind of like went down 20% in the past week or so with their stock and everything because they were supposed to be getting like 5 million new subscriptions a month.
Mm-hmm.
They only got like 2 million.
Oh.
So like investors and people were like, you are not growing at the rate that we wanted you to grow.
Yeah.
So it's like that puts the pressure to all these people and like, I have to be able to bring out more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you are competing with Apple or with Amazon, that they can lose money in order to gain people is too hard for Netflix because that's their only business. You know?
They have had some like amazing movies and things that they've done over
the
years.
Right.
I feel like they have the prestige still. They still have the resume of their past.
Well done,
but I don't know.
We'll see what's going to happen in the next few years, if Netflix is going to come out with a genius strategy and change the game, or if they are just going to sink in and Apple and Prime are going to eat it.
Right.
And the same thing with HBO and all of these platforms. I mean, the best thing AT&T has is Warner Bros., that is the owner of HBO Max.
There you go.
I feel like HBO is going to somehow survive only because...
they put the standard.
They
put the standard on TV shows.
Maybe. That's not what I was going to say. I was actually going to say, like, they've always been on the more risque side. Like, aren't they the ones who have Euphoria?
Yeah.
They're also, like, they put Sex on the City 20-something years ago, And that show at that time was like, whoa, that was like considered like rated R stuff, you know?
Right.
And it, like, it used to be like if you had HBO, everyone, like, I remember going over to friends' houses and like other parents would be like, no, no watching HBO if the parents have it, you know? Because like they knew that like you would turn it on and you would see naked people for sure.
For sure.
Like it was like the, HBO Max, naughty. And I feel like they're still kind of like that. Like they're always going to be like, the one that's willing to push the envelope as far as they can, as far as TV goes.
Yeah.
Right.
But,
yeah, no, and I mean, that's the best thing HBO Max has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Serious. I mean, we were watching a new series. It's called The Sex of College Girls, The Sex Life of College Girls.
It's really good.
It's so freaking good.
No, it sounds so bad, you guys, but Mindy Kaling?
I think so, something. Yes.
Isn't she an SNL writer or something?
I believe
she's hilarious. She's a comedian, a writer, and she is. I don't know if she's producing it or writing the script for the show. So it's like really, it's hilarious.
It's so good. Yeah. Like I haven't laughed of a TV show so much in a while, and like the humor is so good, and you get the four different perspectives of these girls. It's pretty damn good. Like I really liked it.
It's really funny.
It's so funny.
We have to watch it.
It's kind of like, if you imagine like Tina Fey in college or something, like I don't know, it's just like
that's
really
good.
Funny.
That's good.
The like every line is just like kind of priceless, but it's really funny.
It is pretty. I really love the show.
Yeah,
and
we're also into Joe Millionaire.
Yeah.
Right now.
Oh yes.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That's a good one.
I like that one.
Or for poor.
One of them is worth $10 million, while the other one is
not.
It's such a good show. It really is. It's different. I like it.
I mean, the streaming services are good. I feel like we're bringing better shows and we're bringing better teams.
Mm-hmm.
But it's to a point where I don't need to have 20.
No.
That's the thing.
That's the thing.
After a while, you forget your login. It's just different logins for everyone.
Maybe it's good, though, because like maybe it forces us to like be less antisocial. I think when COVID started, we all like got in our little bubbles with our 20 streaming services.
We all cooped up.
I feel like now, like, you know, it's good. You have like two, your friends have the other two. So it's like, okay, I'll go over to someone's house. Like, you know, and watch this streaming service that I don't have. At least you're, like, going outside for a second.
Right.
Exactly.
Instead
exactly.
of just, like, hibernating on your couch.
Exactly.
And, like,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah. Yep. Well, should we switch gears and talk about, we like to talk about people winning money. I mean, you can't really go wrong with that.
Yeah.
And
that puts
so,
a smile in anyone's face.
One of our latest happy feeling stories is, there was a man from Arizona, I think his name is, they gave us his name, Robert Taylor. He went to Vegas, you know, to just have a good time. This is back in January, and he didn't realize that he, like, was a jackpot winner. So it came to the attention of the personnel at the casino that the slot machine that this gentleman was using actually malfunctioned. And he was supposed to win $220,000. I think it was at Treasure Island, the casino in Vegas. So anyways, they tracked the guy down. It did take them a couple weeks to find him.
Mm-hmm.
They had to use, like, CCTV footage and, like, track him down and all this complicated stuff.
Come
and, like,
get your money.
They probably contacted him, and he probably freaked out. Like, who knows, thought he was, like, in trouble or something.
Right.
And they're like, dude, you hit the jackpot. And he's like, yeah.
Like,
I mean, who wouldn't want to get that news?
But also, it talks so well about the actual
casino.
I'm going to repeat the casino, Treasure Island, because I feel like you guys are right. Like, what integrity. Like, they didn't have to
do that.
I don't think anyone would have known.
And the guy will have never been, like, in his mind, I won and they didn't give him the money.
Exactly.
No, he didn't want anything.
Yeah.
So that's amazing of them. So if you guys go to Vegas, stay at Treasure Island.
Because
you know if you win, they're going to find
you. Might have a malfunction. Better leave them your phone.
So anyways, I just thought that was a fun story. And
it is a pretty damn funny story.
Yeah. That's cute.
So just because you thought you lost, you might really have won.
Yes.
Don't give up hope. Never give
no.
up hope.
Never.
Play those lucky numbers.
Yeah.
Go to your Chinese restaurant.
Go to your nearest Chinese restaurant. If you haven't heard that episode,
Yes, go watch it.
Go watch it.
That's funny.
I think it's 2 episodes ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you believe this is episode 10, guys?
I know.
Hola.
Double digits. Damn. 10. Dang. Episode 10.
Yeah. Thank you for watching if you've been watching.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. Well, everybody, do we have anything else?
Yeah. We have the thought of the day.
Oh.
The thought of the day.
Let's go.
To wrap it up.
Let's do it.
Thought of the day. So, challenges can be stepping stones or stumbling rocks. It's just a matter of how you view them.
How you view life and how you view...
Going back to what we just talked about, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
Very true. All right, so the joke of the day is, what is a snake's favorite subject?
Snakeology? Science. I don't know.
Science.
History.
Oh my history. God.
pretty funny.
That's cute.
I don't think I've ever in my life guessed a joke correctly.
No, I've never guessed a joke correctly. Not once.
I'm so bad at them. Not once.
So I'm always impressed when people are like, oh no, and then they're right.
Yeah, exactly. That's a talent. That's a gift.
Spanish. It's a gift to tell good jokes and a gift
to answer them correctly. Yeah.
And our random fact of the day is the King of Hearts is the only king without a mustache.
In the deck, right?
Mm. In the deck.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm going to check my deck of cards right now.
The deck of cards are so interesting because they have those little things like that.
That you don't even notice.
You don't know that they are happening, that they are there, or
they
like, why.
They should put this on, like, you know, like, who wants to be a millionaire or something as a question. Because, it is something that, like, you see so often, but you just never really look at it.
Yeah.
So it would be so easy to just be, like, $1 million question and just be like,
call a friend.
Know.
Call a friend.
Yeah.
Pick up your cars.
Call your friend that's the bank accountant or something. No, I guess that's with dollar bills.
Yeah.
But
a poker player. Call a poker player.
That's the funniest thing. That probably your call is somebody that never plays cars.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool. Very interesting.
That's cool.
Very interesting.
Well, everybody, is that a wrap up?
Yeah.
I think that's a wrap up. Episode 10 in the books. As always, we thank you for following us, subscribing to us, leaving us comments. Thank you for all your support. All the links are down below. Our website, our Spotify, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Apple, Amazon, you name it, we have it. The list goes on.
Mm-hmm. Forever and ever.
And as always, until next time.
Yeah. Thank you for watching.
Thanks for watching and listening. Bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Thanks for listening, guys and gals. This was Nobody You Know. Literally. Remember to hit like and subscribe and leave us a comment. Have a question for the guys or a topic you'd love them to discuss? Get in touch. You can find us on all socials at @nobodyyouknow_podcast. See you next time.